Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Andros's mum gets a job at Everton and the Champions League returns. Crumble all round. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Tuesday, 14th of September. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
I'm joking. We're not actually having pudding, are we, Luke?
Too early for that.
Yeah.
Too early. I wouldn't take a dessert before midday.
Would you not?
To look at me, you wouldn't agree, but I honestly wouldn't. I wouldn't take a dessert before midday. I just don't think it's the right thing to do. Unless you're on holiday, maybe.
Good point, yeah.
Because sometimes breakfast in hotels can be quite desserty, can't they?
Yeah, it can.
Once you polish on a mimosa.
There's three kind of exceptions to the drinking before midday rule as well, in my view. Train, wedding, holiday. Could you
airport,
apply to
desserts? Talking?
I don't really do it for the airport.
No.
Not really an airport drinker.
First day at school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every year. Tradition.
Tradition.
From Portsmouth. Are you mad?
Let's wet the baby's head. Yeah. I'm the baby.
Oh, by the way, speaking of that,
yes?
I had an absolute revelation the weekend.
We are recording.
Yeah, it was disappointing. But the listeners are going to like it. So I always thought that I was born on a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Opposite Fratton Park when Portsmouth are playing at home.
Yes.
And I was born at 3:02 on a Saturday, 20th September 1980, and the hospital is right opposite Fratton Park.
Okay.
My wife, understandably bored of hearing that story for the 400th time, looked it up. Pompey were away from home that day.
Oh,
my whole life has been shaken to its very core. They're away from home. I genuinely didn't know that and I hadn't checked for about 20 years. Gutting. Absolutely gutting.
Your entire life is based on a lie.
They were away at a whole city. And if I'd not known that, I don't know if I ever would have started on the ramble. Mm. So I'd have been like, it's not destined.
I'm just looking at the official Matchday magazine for the Tigers. It's a nice looking
What is that 20th September 1980?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So that's
that
why Marvel
fast. Jesus.
He was. Peter's part internet. Mm. That was my Marvel origin story, and it's now proven to be a myth.
Lie.
It's all right. We can come up with a new one, I reckon. Mm. Where were you?
I'm sure the listeners can.
Yeah. All right. Send them in. Show a football ramble.
Don't do any drawings.
Dad, come. We don't need drawings. Oh, we do. No, drawings are fine. Mm. Jingles, though, we seem to be rejecting them in favour of Pete's lovely jingle.
What's my decision? It was Marcus. He doesn't want the listener jingles. He wanted the Pete jingle.
Marcus hates the listeners.
He hates the listeners.
It's so, yeah, we've talked about this before.
We should say that. He's not here to defend himself. It's not fair. Yeah.
Marcus, write in. Show at footballramble.com.
He's back tomorrow, I think. He'll set the record straight.
Yeah, he will.
If it takes him half an hour to do so.
He's been having a wild old time. Also having a wild old time is Andros Townsend. Mm. What a bloody strike.
Yes.
It reminded me of that one against Man City, but then I looked that up and that was actually way better.
Much better.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is almost exactly... No, it's not.
Is it fair coverage to say it was good, but do you remember the better thing you did?
I apologise.
It was a lovely goal.
But it was great. Because you did. It was that lovely thing of... it was the second goal, was it, for Everton? And it was that lovely thing of you're just watching it. You're sort of idly watching it. You're like, oh, he's not going to... Oh, shoot. And then he bloody did. And they never listen normally when you shout at the telly.
He hit the post as well a little bit later on, which was with an absolute peach as well. He's such... I do like that player, but he just strikes me as being a real confidence guy.
Yeah.
I was saying earlier, if he was a bit thicker, I think he'd genuinely be a better player.
Pete's theory is that Andros Townsend, you've probably heard some of his output on media, on the radio, something like that, and you think he's actually quite an intelligent guy, which is a nice thing to say.
He's too worrisome for me.
But is there a link between intelligence and being good at football? Because Patrick Bamford's apparently very intelligent and he's having a great time.
Surely the argument is there's different kinds of intelligence.
Yes. Right?
And probably the dream is that you've got an equal quantity of both.
Mm. Yeah.
Just don't think about it. Don't worry about it.
If Patrick Bamford was less intelligent, would he have scored on his debut against Andorra?
Possibly.
It's possible.
Possibly. He might have committed more.
He's thinking about angles. His mind's like, he's got angles and projectors.
Well, did you read that Andros Townsend
Beautiful Mind
piece in the Players Tribune from Andros Townsend, where he's just like going, I was just having a terrible time. I was having loads of troubles in my personal life. But the thing that really reignited my career was literally being Andros Fierschbos just switched wings. Just put me on the other wing and my career really took off.
So it's like almost like a football version of feng shui.
Yeah.
Like, move the sofa from one side of the room to the other.
Get the bin out the corner.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So, but move Andros to a different part of the pitch.
Yeah.
Do you think he was like, oh, it's quite similar over here, but it's new. It's something
it's new.
Exactly. A change is as good as a rest.
Big fan of Pokemon, Andros Townsend.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
All of the young men are. I saw that.
All of the young men are. Yeah. You know, those young men.
You can still
Pokemon.
Find them. They've got names.
seriously are. Yeah. The triathlon lads, they all had them. Yeah. The thing that supposedly got him up for this one was his mum showed him a compilation of his goals.
To
prove that he could score goals.
Well, I just want to put my arm around him. Don't worry about it, mate. It's fine.
He also says that Rafa Benitez is kind of hammering him to... Well, he said that Roy Hodgson was always on about defending.
Right.
But Benitez is on about the other
side. Please, we don't have anyone to put the ball in there.
I mean, he's only scored 32 league goals in his whole career, so it can't have been that much of a compilation.
If you're listening, maybe skip that bit.
No, I was just thinking you need a bit of carrot and stick.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's an entire Evanescence song, isn't it?
Yeah,
really? That's about it.
Yeah. I enjoyed the game very much, by the way. It was one of those games where the first half you're like, oh, it's Burnley. And it's going to be boring. But they kind of almost got to a point where they dominated the first half so much that Everton, who've got a notoriously like fickle crowd, very, very hard crowd when it's not going for them. So many ex-players have told me that. Even some ex-referees have said it's the hardest place to referee. It's a really difficult atmosphere, or can be. But they got to the point, Burnley, where they're about to turn the crowd, particularly when they scored just after half-time.
Yeah.
But yet again, they could not hold on to it. They've got a terrible growing reputation for not being able to hold on to a lead, not being able to play for a full 90 minutes, only really being able to do it for an hour. Mm. They did this at the start of last season as well. From memory, it was a win against Crystal Palace and then predictably a win against Arsenal that meant they kicked their season off. And they won two of their first seven or eight or something, Burnley. Started the season really badly. But I felt like the amount of dominance they had in the first half...
Mm.
Not converting that into enough goals, and then not, because you know, like in the Premier League, really, if you're dominant, you've got to score. It's really bad if you don't. And I know they scored after half time, but straight away they got pumped and they conceded another and then another. You could be charitable and say the Townsend goal, which is a goal from nowhere, just killed them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's a lot of players around him. He didn't really get that close to him.
Yeah.
So it's one of those, I think.
Yeah, right. So 3-1, the final score there, and those six second half minutes were pretty disastrous, I guess.
And turned the tide, didn't it, really?
Do you know what would fear... What, if I was a Burnley fan, what would fear me most would not be that second goal, would be that third goal.
Mm.
Because Burnley are normally so...
They're
so compact normally. They know their jobs. And Dyche spoke quite interestingly after the game about how he didn't think it was the fact that Everton changed it. He thought that Burnley was a little bit too reactive, didn't get on the front foot, didn't assert their dominance once they scored, and they got caught out.
That third goal, for me, is very worrying. Damari Gray had the absolute freedom of the pitch, and I thought the pass from Decore was amazing. The first touch from Damari Gray was amazing as well. Like, that went underrated. They didn't really mention that on the coverage, and it just took it perfectly into a stride. Didn't need to break a stride. Then he was able to do the business. And Pope made a couple of other good saves as well.
I was going to say that. He had a good game.
Yeah. So it's worrying for them.
He had a good game. And it's also, I suppose, uncomfortable for Burnley to act as supporters of Everton's new transfer policy. Because Murray Gray brought in for, what was it, 1.7 million. Exactly. Obviously, Andros Townsend coming in on a free.
I like the fact Gray has been a great sign so far. He's been fantastic for them. Townsend also did, I don't know if it was in the Players' Tribune article, but it was around the time he signed for Everton. It might have been one of the interviews he gave, because he's obviously on the media quite a lot. He said something like, "I know there are loads of football people out there who don't think I can do it anymore at this level, and that's the motivation for me to go and do it."
Stop reading the reviews.
Stop reading the reviews.
It's from you, that, Mason. Yeah.
I don't read them, guys. Stop writing them.
So I just thought it was an interesting game for a Monday night. Yeah, Burnley, there's nothing scientific about it, because I know that, like I said, they had this poor start last season. I also just think that they might really struggle this season, chiefly because they don't score enough goals. I mean, they stayed up last season with 33 goals. Mm. I mean, it's obviously much, much lower than one goal a game. I know that Palace have stayed up, I think maybe scoring 31, and Huddersfield, weirdly, I maybe got this wrong, but I'm pretty sure I haven't. I think Huddersfield stayed up in their first season in the Premier League, scoring 28 goals, which is unbelievable. Mm. But that doesn't happen very often. You need to score more. And also, if you're only going to score one every game, if you're lucky, statistically,
you're going to have to defend a bit better.
Three. Yeah. And it puts so much pressure on defenders. I remember Graham Lassow saying, we did a thing with Graham Lassow, and he was saying it was really hard for him when he was playing at a team that were fighting against relegation, because it always seemed to be really geared up towards the fact they had to keep clean sheets because they didn't have any goal scorers.
Yeah.
And the pressure playing in that defence over and over again every week was just really, really intense, because as soon as they conceded one, they were practically thinking, well, that's that then.
Yeah.
And it's going to be very difficult for Burnley, I think.
On Everton, obviously unbeaten so far this season, but they have had a fairly, would we call it, kind of kindly run of games so far.
And they've got a few more to come as well, haven't they?
Yeah, they seem to. And but equally, there does seem to be, I mean, Benitez playing down how pissed off Everton fans were by his arrival at the club.
Oh, I wonder if those people with the bed sheet saying, "We know where you live," are delivering flowers to his
probably
house.
Probably were.
If they didn't, as it turned out,
know they didn't actually
where,
know where
maybe
he lives.
Did somebody say Just Eat?
He said, it's a bit of a noise going on around the club, but actually people are, all they want is for the club to fight for the
Sorry,
really, that's such a basic thing to say, but
I'm
you know
really
what he's
happy
saying.
For him. Really happy for him. Austerity Benitez. I mean, once again, he's joined a club where they've sort of went, "You can't have any money because we've got a stadium to build."
Yeah.
but they just didn't sell enough players. But I think Benitez is going to have a great time at Everton. I think Everton fans are going to very much enjoy him. And I am terribly jealous.
Simon Rondon came on as well.
Terribly jealous.
Lovely. He's hailed Benitez for showing me things I didn't see in 10 years of football.
What can those things be?
What a
I think
love
when a player
story.
Says that, it is nice, but I think when a player says that, we have a right to say, okay, what?
Yeah, I know. And actually, to be honest, that's a failure of the interviewer, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why are you not asking the follow-up? Because I want to know.
Oh, he just switched wings.
Yeah, he just put me on the other wing.
Yeah. Benitez, for his part, said, "You couldn't ask for a better boy on and off the pitch."
Oh, boy.
So it does sound a little bit as though he's been showing him some sort of dog-based training drill.
Good boy. Sit, Ubu, sit. Good boy.
I've said this before on the show, and I kind of stand by it. I don't know why Newcastle United fans don't just come out and say, "Listen, we like Rafa Benitez. We like the cut of his jib. We think he's a good guy. He's a charming guy. Does an interview after the game. He seems fun. And we don't like Steve Bruce." And it's as simple as that. And we have the right, as the fan of a club, to say that. Rather than doing all this kind of rhetorical gymnastics, just say it. Because you can see...
I mean, they do say it, don't they?
But I don't think they say that's the reason.
No, they try and prove it with...
League tables and facts and stats.
But you're missing my point. My point is, Pete, that it's perfectly legitimate as a fan of a club to say, "I like that person, I don't like that person." If Steve
But they are saying that, though, aren't they?
I think they're using a lot of other reasons to justify it when they don't need to.
I'd say that's backup. That's evidence. And that's evidence-based positing, one would say.
Especially because Steve Bruce seems quite nice. Is that why?
Is he not quite?
He's a prick.
Oh.
He is a stone cold titanium plated prick.
Where's the titanium? His nose. You can't say that. That's out of order.
I assume it's hips and stuff, isn't it? That's what you get in your hips now when you get them redone. Titanium.
I think you want it, what you really want is a is probably a porcelain to which encourages bone growth.
That's what all the squash lads have. I was just going to say
about Benitez that after the game yesterday when he was interviewed by the Monday Night Football team, I know he knows Carragher well and all the rest of it, so he had a little bit of a camaraderie with him. It was just a very charming interview. Mm. He talked a bit about you know, what had gone wrong, what had gone right. He mentioned, you know, a few things about what he wants to achieve at Everton, and he also, I think, very classily said, even though some of that stuff happened that you mentioned earlier, he said, look, the positivity I've received from all Everton fans has been amazing. I love to see
all Everton fans.
He said that. He was very classy about it. And I found them very charming. And I also thought, to be fair, and I've criticised Sean Dyche quite a lot on this show. I don't particularly like the cut of his jib. But he responded to what Benitez said about a few robust challenges, you know, the usual Burnley story. He said, I haven't got a problem with Rafa's opinion. That's how he feels about it. I think the game's in a good place. Fine. He wasn't kind of chippy about it. Because one of those tackles in particular, given that, you know, what's happened with Andre Gomez in the recent past and what we saw of Harvey Elliott.
He should have scored, by the way, Gomez. He should have missed that.
Yeah, he should have. I thought it was a little bit robust. And of course, the referees are letting the play go a lot more these days, which I actually like.
Yeah.
But I thought all round it was a great night for football, is what I'm trying to say.
Luke Moore says, sacrifice these protected little Premier League footballers at the altar of my entertainment.
No, I think that if you're going to take the King's shilling, if you're going to take Richard Keyes's shilling, that sometimes there will be a payback.
He just joined Insta, apparently.
Ooh. Insta?
Yeah, I think so. I think I heard that in the group.
Mason, you're our expert. What do you think about that?
Mm. I think that there's a place for everybody on social media, as we very well know. Yeah. And I'm sure Richard Keyes is not the worst person on Instagram.
That is fair, to be fair.
I think that's wrong. Actually, no, he is.
So look, we think Everton have a chance to do decently this season, don't we? Let's look a little bit at Leicester. I think you talked about them yesterday a bit, but not dramatically.
Busy weekend, Kit.
It's not a criticism of the running order, which is beautifully put together.
This section is called James Maddison thought he got away with it. He didn't.
One-nil, obviously, City beat Leicester, but Leicester didn't look too bad. I think one player that we wanted to talk a little bit about is James Maddison and where he's gone. Most recently, speaking of Instagram, he did appear on there calling himself a certified lover boy, but looking quite lonely.
Yeah, so this is interesting because we discussed this before the show, didn't we? We talked about how if players lose form, which Maddison has, my opinion would be that he probably needs a little bit of time out the side. I know that a lot of Leicester fans, for example, are crying out for Ian Acher to come in because he's looked really bright when he's come on. And Maddison's not creating chances. I think he's now 15 games without a goal or assist.
Yeah. And he got booed off, didn't he?
By some people, I think.
Booze that, nonetheless.
But it's interesting how you interpret that, because you could argue that they were booing the decision for him to come off because they like him. Because he's a very popular player there. But I don't know. I wasn't there, so I can't say.
Yeah, okay.
But his record at creating chances has been generally pretty good. Anyway, that's a long run-up towards saying that before the show today, Kate, you and I were talking about how whenever a player loses form, a lot of pundits will say, well, he's just got too many other interests. And that's why. They say that, though, so they're concentrating on this.
Yeah, it's like
fashion brands.
God.
And whatever.
Rashford.
Kate was looking at a picture of James Maddison in an Instagram photo on his account looking really lonely, and she went, I just don't think he's got enough interest. Which may be true, because he did look really lonely, just standing there on his own with a sad look on his face, trying to be like Drake. And listen, I like Drake. He's all right.
I like Burna Boy.
I can't name any of his songs, but I'm sure he's great. He's not a great football player.
No.
You've got to be positive. You've got to be confident.
Well, look, he was connected with a move away over the holiday. In the break.
To Arsenal, which is enough to depress any person.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Apparently they said he was worth £100 million, according to Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah, just to put Arsenal off.
All right, so you think he's trying to protect James Maddison, even though he thinks he's going to be out of form?
I think Brendan sat James down in his office and they had a little cry together, and Brendan said, no matter how bad it gets for you here, son,
I promise you
will never go, unless it's an away game, within 50 miles of Arsenal. Is Leicester within 50 miles of Arsenal? It might be.
Within 10 miles of Arsenal.
100. Because 100 that miles. Is a dereliction of duty for me, as your manager
and as someone who takes your pastoral care very seriously. That's what Brendan Rodgers said.
What do we think about Leicester then? Because Maddison, as we say, he's not doing the creative things that Leicester fans have come to expect. He seems a bit unsettled.
Neither are players like Jose Perez.
Yes, but he's not the only one responsible, is what I was going to say. Yes.
Yeah, Steve Bruce's fault, probably.
I think Leicester, when they spent that amount of money on Jose Perez, I think a lot of Newcastle fans were like, all right, yeah, we'll take that, to be honest. And they don't enjoy being a selling club. He has got that in his locker. He does flatter to deceive. Sometimes he's not the most creative player and he's a bit of a liability at times. He loses the ball quite a lot. And I think for a team with Leicester's aspirations and in Leicester's position, I think they need certain players in certain positions to be a cut above players like Jose Perez.
I think with Perez, isn't he a kind of player, Pete? I mean, you've just seen him a lot more than me, but isn't he the kind of player that you need to let him try things? And if it doesn't work or he's not in form, it looks bad.
Yes, he's spotty form-wise for me.
And I think the front, so to answer your question, Kate, about Leicester, I think if you look at the front few players, I mean, Vardy's undroppable even now. Yeah. So he's not going to not play. And Maddison's playing the hole behind him where he was against Man City with Barnes and Al Brighton, who's forced his way back into the side.
Yeah.
But as I said earlier, Ian Acho's looked really bright whenever he's come on. And I think there are a lot of fans who want to see him given a go. And look, Leicester are in that position where they're almost going to be hoisted by their own petard if they're not careful, because they've worked really hard to get themselves up into this position. And one of the things that Rodgers, I've read, has been working on is to change their mentality so they feel like a big club. So he said, you've won the Premier League, you know, you've won this, you've won that.
Yeah.
You know, big clubs win trophies, you're winning trophies. They've also got an amazing looking new training ground and complex, which it does. I mean, if you haven't seen it, you should look it up. It looks incredible. So he's trying to level them up.
Yeah.
But the problem is, then the expectations get really high. And if you've got a team that really, whose creativity goes through maybe one player, and he's still a relatively young player,
24, yeah.
Yeah, then it could come back to bite you. And maybe the best thing for him is to take a little bit of time out so they can think of a different way of playing and maybe kind of rely on other players.
And you get the feeling that Rodgers is willing to play players that aren't even 90% fit sometimes.
Last season, the injury list was absolutely massive.
It was massive, but it's kind of started like that this season as well. They got Napoli in a couple of games' time, and Napoli have started really well this season.
Haven't they got Napoli on Thursday?
Thursday. And they ended the season really well. I think if Leicester get a bit of a hammering against a really informed team, I think... It's not been the best start of the season, but obviously you're not playing Man City at the weekend.
It's not ideal, but
I think that's a really interesting discussion point, very briefly, because Leicester's record against Man City has actually been very good. You know,
that's a good point. And of course, Maddison ran riot in the game. Was it the 5-2?
Vardy as well. Yeah. And I think that they have kind of not dined out on it, but they've definitely had a reputation increase because of their performances against Man City. And they were really badly beaten. I know it was only 1-0, but they were really run ragged in terms of ball possession, in terms of shots and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
So that's a point to mention. And very, very quickly as well, they've also had a difficult start to centre-back life this season because Evans has been out and Soyuncu, who started the season so badly. One of the positives, I think, would be...
Because you keep hammering him.
Well, he was actually a lot better against City, and so maybe he's kind of shaking that off now. It didn't really work, that experiment, to go away with Turkey and have a bit of time out and play against the Netherlands when he was absolutely abysmal. But he looks to have shaken that off now. So look, you can see things improving. That Maddison discussion is a conundrum to be solved, though, for sure.
Maddison medicine.
Yeah.
Take it. Yeah, two wins and two losses so far, defeats so far this season. It's the wins are against Wolves and Norwich, okay, and then West Ham and Man City are the defeats. We'll see how this one shakes out. Right, let's get to a break because we need to hurry on to a new game from PTD.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Now, a well-placed source has told me that you celebrated the win over Borussia Dortmund in the dressing room by doing an impression of Chris Kamara. Is that right?
Unbelievable, Jeff. Unbelievable, Jeff.
That is uncanny. Welcome back to the Football Ramble with me, Luke and Pete, in your ears. It's time now for some of these.
If you've got something for us, showfootballramble.com.
Oh, indeed. I don't like it, all the Pete voices. I've said it before.
No, you said you did like it.
No, I don't like to think of six
room
of them. Room
full of
about.
Pete.
Room full of Pete.
Kissing.
Yeah. Tops off?
Tops off.
Yeah. Okay, there's an email here from a listener who wants to remain anonymous. I don't know why they want to remain anonymous.
This perhaps is going to be spicy, isn't it? Tell us.
Not really.
What does Mr. Anonymous say?
Perhaps because he's not a horrendous show-off like the rest of us. He doesn't want to have his name on it, which is fair enough. He's picking up on the discussion we had yesterday about the reason for the Watford own goal. I suspected that Sierra Elton may have had the sun in his eyes, and that's why he did it.
Generous.
And this emailer has got in touch saying, "Hi guys, I'm just getting in touch regarding the photons in eyes gate that caused the own goal at Vicarage Road. I'm a construction engineering student, right, and yes, the sun is a factor when it comes to which way buildings are placed on a piece of land, and it's called sun study. It's a feature that you find in commercial CAD software that is used for structural or architectural design. By entering the coordinates of the site, date and time, you will be able to see exactly the path of light from the sun and the shadows on a building, and you could even create animation of sunlight and the shadows moving during a set time period. One of the uses in countries with cold climates to find the optimum placement of a building to get the largest amount of sunlight through the windows during the winter period, which is important for mental health and also seen as a small energy-saving measure."
So why didn't they do that with the gherkin? For example, do you remember?
Was it
the gherkin or was it the walkie-talkie one where it was like
burning a car? Yeah.
Get in touch with Anonymous. Maybe he'll tell you. And I just think that if they were building a new Vicarage Road now, they would take that into account, and therefore the goal yesterday, the goal at the weekend, wouldn't have been conceded, and it could have affected their whole season. Just saying, it's aggregated marginal gains, and a bit of chaos theory thrown in there as well. If a butterfly flaps its wings in Tokyo, does Sierra Elta score an own goal in Watford?
We'll never know.
Not with that air quality.
Showfootballramble.com. Pete.
Nathan Curry has got in touch. Started right in after Luke read out a list of unusual injuries on Monday's show. One he didn't mention was the time that John McGinn was speared by a teammate.
Christ.
I'm thinking like in a wrestling context. No, actually speared. While at St Mirren, 20-year-old McGinn had his season ended after his captain, former Cardiff, Burnley and Rangers striker Stephen Thompson, threw a spiked training pole at him and it lodged into his leg 7 centimetres
in.
Near the femoral artery.
That is horrible.
I mean, you know, the femoral artery is like game over stuff.
Yeah, you're dead.
Thompson himself has previous weird injuries. He once suffered a severe groin injury falling off a banana boat.
I never heard it called that before.
Yeah, we've all done that.
Lovely.
There's a couple of others as well that follow up in weird injuries. Apparently, Reading goalkeeper Rafa broke his hand on Saturday after punching a whiteboard in the changing room.
Gloved or ungloved? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, and it's 4 years since 4 years to the day since Marco Asensio missed Real Madrid's Champions League game, first one of the season, because he got an infected pimple after shaving his legs.
I think I speak for all the girls listening to
get
this show. Yeah, get over it. That's yet more proof.
They
that
do it.
Women are. They shave much stronger.
They shave their legs because they have a lot of sports massages, right?
So yeah.
Otherwise, you get ingrown hairs.
Oh, because it would hurt, right? Yeah.
Ingrown hairs, right. I think. Yeah.
Interesting.
If you've got any more weird injuries, get in touch. I'd like to hear from listeners.
Exfoliate as well. I think he should have. I'm surprised he's not doing. Yeah.
Top tip. Yeah. I'd like to hear from listeners who've got their own weird injuries. Because the football ones, we kind of heard about a lot of them before.
Okay.
You know, but I'd like to hear from listeners themselves.
We don't want any of those penis ones. I don't want to hear a single thing about degloving ever again in my life.
No, that's mostly Pete's fault.
I didn't mention degloving.
So, shall we say that we want injuries from waist up and thighs down?
Fine. Yes.
Yeah?
Bums?
Bums are okay.
Bums are okay.
Yeah, bums are okay. We've all got bums.
Yeah, no.
Anyway.
Mine's a wreck.
Yeah, show at footballramble.com.
Tweet us at footballramble. Pete, you've got a game.
It's time for a game from me. It's called The Game That Requires Little or No Skill at All.
Great!
And is this because... Sorry to talk over your strangely morose trumpet jingle. Is this because I completed Portmantonio Conte last week?
No, it's not. It's unconnected. I thought, look, we've... not had a new game for a little while. This one, I can't imagine, is going to be a runner.
Okay.
Because people will get competitive and ruin it like they do with every fucking game.
That is supposed to be fine.
Another dig at Marcus. Outrageous.
I thought it was a dig at me after Friday.
Well, both of you. So, in my favourite place in the world, Japan, there is a football management arcade game called World Champion Club Football. You sit at a desk in an arcade with a screen, and you basically use these collectible cards with players on them to manage your football team. Each card corresponds to a player, and it's basically like your Panini stickers, all right? Just imagine a Panini sticker.
Like a pro set card.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. But the interesting thing about them is that every player gets his own little description that's meant to sum up the kind of player that he is.
Okay.
A little phrase that gives us the essence of how he plays the game.
Okay. I see where this is going.
But because it's Japanese, it makes fuck all sense, all right? I'm looking at a card here. Hernan Crespo, playing for Lazio in 2001, and his description is instinctive sense of the shot.
Right, so we've got to guess what people are.
I'm going to explain the game. Thanks, Kate.
Pipe down, mate. Take some time off. You haven't got to host this bit.
Put your feet up. Fernando Torres, playing for Liverpool in 2007, he's known as the Goal Storm.
I love that.
They're beautifully creative anyway. Yeah. So the game is going to work like this. I've got some cards in my hands, which you can't see. I'm going to select a player, tell you the shirt he's wearing and the year in which he's wearing it and the phrase.
Okay.
All you need to do is tell me who it is. Shout out when you know.
Okay.
It's player versus player.
This is going to be impossible, isn't it?
It's going to be impossible.
It requires little skill because you just need to know footballers who played them. But the descriptions kind of correlate with what they are and what they do. To a certain extent. Some of them are batshit and you'll never get them.
Yeah. Because I would have thought like the Goal Storm would be a more moody,
more like
darker player than Torres. He's very, very...
More like a Lukaku or someone. Someone who's sort of like forcing his way through.
Exactly.
Diego Costa, someone like that.
Yeah, exactly. Great. Yeah. Good example.
Okay. Are you ready for your first player?
Yeah, kind of.
The player in question is wearing an Arsenal shirt. It's 2010 and he is the intuitive secret root dribbler.
The intuitive secret
root dribbler.
Okay, 2010. Oh, Theo Walcott.
Nope.
Thierry?
Huh?
Is that too late for Thierry?
Nope, it's not Thierry Henry.
It's too late, I think.
But you're in the right part of the pitch, I would say.
Oh.
One more guess from what either of yous.
I'm terrible with dates, that's the problem.
Yeah, same.
Intuitive secret root dribbler. We've all heard of him.
Yeah. Luke looks like he's having a hernia.
Because it's really annoying.
It requires no skill, so there's no need to be worrisome about the result. It was Cesc Fabregas.
Oh, bloody hell.
He's
the
intuitive
totally
secret root dribbler, guys.
That's really good from the Japanese bloke. You got another one?
Yes.
Cool.
This man is wearing a Bayern shirt in 2007. He's the hedge fund goalie.
Hedge fund goalie?
I haven't got a fucking clue.
What does that mean?
Oliver Kahn.
It's Oliver Kahn.
Yeah. What does it mean?
I don't
touchdown.
Know.
Touchdown.
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 Just expensive. It was expensive?
I don't know.
The correct jingle is touchdown. Not even the same sport.
Borussia Dortmund shirt, 2010. Who is the pinpoint bomber?
What's his face? Went to Manchester United.
I'm going to go Robert Lewandowski.
It is Robert Lewandowski.
Do you want
your clip?
Touchdown.
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 He's only got a couple more of these. He's wearing a Real Madrid shirt.
Okay.
It's 2012. And he's and he is computer speed decision.
2012 Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Computer speed decision.
He's got computer speed decision.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes.
Nope.
No.
No.
Karim Benzema.
Nope.
Bloody hell. Iker Casillas.
It's not. I'm going to tell you who it is. It's Xabi Alonso. Computer speed decision making.
You know when you plan a quiz and you get the answer that you didn't get and you go, of course, that makes perfect sense.
But none of this does.
I'm not feeling this.
None of this does.
I'm not feeling that emotion at any point. Right.
It's just finally, list a few players and that's good.
Finally for now,
all right.
He's in a Chelsea shirt.
Yeah.
It's 2005. He is the power horse.
Claude McAlealy.
Nope.
John Terry.
Nope.
Frank Lampard.
Nope. He's had two spells at the club.
The power horse.
The power horse.
2005, two spells at the club. Still
playing? It's Mourinho. It's Mourinho era.
Still playing?
Didier Drogba.
It is Didier
Drogba.
Damn it!
Touchdown!
Good job!
Touchdown.
Three touchdowns!
Yeah, you've done all right there.
Luke's had three touchdowns. It's a mental game. You can buy these cards if you want on eBay. They're insane, and I love them so much. Thank you very much to Fatista Zone for the cards. He teaches you how to play the game, which, unless you speak Japanese, is impossible.
It's a mental game in more
sense
of the word.
In more than one respect. Good job, Pete. I think that's going to run. What do you reckon?
I like it.
Cool. A few more to wrap up from the weekend. Second round of fixtures in the Women's Super League. Man City again slipped up after their exit in the Champions League qualifying in midweek, losing 2-1 to Spurs. But did they really slip up? Because basically a blatant handball was the cause of the Spurs win.
And there's a VAR conversation now again, right? Because Emma Hayes was talking about it, wasn't she?
Yeah, although to be honest, the girl did jump up like this. That's not really a listener's thing, but, you know, with her arms fully in the air. So I'm not sure VAR should really be required to pick out that.
Isn't that an interesting point? Because a lot of the time people will instinctively go, shit decision or missed decision, VAR. That doesn't actually solve the problem. The problem is it needs to be that the referee is going to be good enough. And that we have that in the men's game as well. I mean, there was a lot of, I think Stuart Atwell got a lot of stick at the weekend as well over in the Premier League. So, yeah, it's not always VAR to be the solution. But Emma Hayes, I thought, made a really interesting point back end of last week, saying that really, people are now getting used to seeing VAR at top level football. We really need it as well. So I kind of agree with that.
They don't even have goal line technology.
Exactly. And there's no excuse for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely no excuse for that at all.
That's basics.
Yeah, it is.
Rosiane, it was the girl threat. The tactical genius who just used her hands to dunk it into the net. Look, I'm all for it.
If you can get away with it. Yeah. I also saw Steph Houghton was dishing out signed bars of Cadbury's chocolate in Manchester Piccadilly Stadium at the weekend. Station at the weekend.
Oh,
well.
Right. What's that about?
Don't know.
Promotion, I guess.
She bought too many. She bought a Sunday Times with W.H. Smith. Do you want a load of chocolate for 50p? And she said yes. I'll get rid of these. Never say yes to anyone, W.H. Smith.
Honourable mention to Rebecca Spencer, the Tottenham goalkeeper, who made it possible for the mighty Spurs to win that one.
Great.
Via fair means or foul.
Great.
Whatever. No one complained when Maradona did it.
They kind of did. Still are.
They talked about it for decades.
Terry Butcher is still complaining about it now. Terry Butcher will go on Five Live to pundit or co-commentate a Premier League game now, and he will somehow mention Maradona.
And look what it did to Peter Shilton.
True. Turned him a little bit.
Sutton United bagged their first ever win in the EFL. Congrats, guys. They beat Stevenage 2-1. Best of all, their 40-year-old player, club fitness trainer, Craig Dundas, featured.
Yeah, he became... So, I'm 40. It made me very happy to just think, you know, I'm 41 next week. Is there still time for me? The answer to that is obviously no, but you can convince yourself for maybe a minute that actually, wow, it's a 40-year-old player playing in the Football League.
I was wondering if you had it in you to even have the physicality to be a club fitness trainer.
No,
that
definitely
sounds
not.
Quite hard.
Harder.
If anything, harder, right?
Yeah. I'm going to watch Southend tonight. I'm like, can I even walk down the hill to go and watch Southend?
I was going to say, take your boots.
So tired.
I was also going to say, so I've got a
skis.
Friend of the show, Steve Grant. He's my South Coast nemesis, big Southampton fan, but we've been friends for a very long time, been to a few games together. He's also a big Sutton United fan. And I texted him this morning saying, we're going to talk. We're going to mention Sutton today.
Oh, great.
And I was hoping he would reply, saying, here's some insight kind of thing.
Oh.
And he was just really happy. He was just like, great.
I'll take it.
Sent me a load of emojis. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Still pissed.
Exactly, yeah.
Celebrating. Exactly. Oh, well, yeah, it's great to see. And let's hope that Donald Dundas gets another run out. Champions League.
568th appearance for the team. Did you say that? God, that's incredible.
Amazing. Great stuff.
And
what a great way to bookend a career, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to be disrespectful. Maybe he's thinking about carrying on. But at some point...
Yeah, why are you trying to write him
600,
off?
600, mate. Let's have 600.
Give him another contract.
Bloody hell, I've just forgotten the name of our favourite guy. King Kazoo.
King Kazoo,
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Miura.
He's 54. This guy needs to pull his finger out. So if King he really is training at fitness, he could carry on.
But what level does King Kazu play at?
Very highest level.
J2, decent. So, I mean, it's a terrible league, but it's still a decent level.
Roughly equivalent to Sutton?
Yeah.
Could he play it like non-league / league two level?
Well, the thing is, King Kazu just comes on and stands in the penalty box. I mean, it's a bit of a joke, really. He's more of a mascot than a player, unfortunately.
So are you suggesting that Sutton United's recruitment policy should be the over 40s?
It'd be a great market employ.
It would be.
It's all about content creation these days, mate.
A one-man veteran league.
You watch the Instagram follows go up.
Let's get a bit to the Champions League tonight in the last few minutes. Who are the favourites for the Champions League? I think we know that one. although apparently we don't, because I was reading that on the old betting, it's PSG are ninth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, What's that about?
Because that's the delicious factor, isn't it? That's that if it all goes terribly wrong for them, that's delicious. And you can never discount delicious, even on the betting markets, I would say.
I mean, it's an interesting theory, but I just think there's better teams.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
It could be that, couldn't it?
It could be that.
Occam's razor. You'd have Liverpool, Man City. Oh, maybe.
Barcelona started the season quite well, and Ronald Koeman has said that thanks to me, this club has a future, which is an astonishing thing to say.
I think what's probably happened is that people are looking at a promotional offer from a betting company or something.
Right,
they're really big odds, and it's probably a marketing ploy.
The
game I'll be watching tonight will be Barcelona Bayern Munich, chiefly because it's the best team. But
if you like a potential drubbing, not best in terms of matchup.
Well, the reason I think it's great is because, you know, so bear with me here. Say the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise, right? Mm. You watch the first Nightmare on Elm Street and it's bloody good, right? And it's frightening and it's an iconic kind of movie of horror cinema. But do you remember they made about 9 of them?
Yeah.
And when you get to Nightmare
like
on Elm Street.
Final Destination 20 or whatever.
Yeah, you get to Nightmare on Elm Street 9 and there's a couple of actors still going.
Still around.
Bush gets and PK.
Guttenberg.
The rest, you think, okay, they're kind of still doing it. I fear for them. I really do. I think Bayern Munich, if you look at the Such first team Bayern will put out tonight, it looks like a pretty good team.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Barcelona will be able to deal with it. So listen, enjoy Barcelona 1, Bayern Munich 0 after I've said that.
Yeah.
But that'll be the game I'll be watching tonight for sure.
I don't think Bayern are going to get beaten. They've got the longest ever unbeaten streak away from home in the Champions League.
Amazing.
This is good, isn't it?
Four games.
Okay.
I don't know if Ronald Koeman's team talk is going to be like, oh, this is the first game since the 8-2, lads.
No, exactly. Also, Lewandowski's starting up front for Bayern Munich, and as we know, he is...
Lewandowski.
De Bomber, wasn't it? No, the Bomb
Lewandowski.
Boy or something.
Lewandowski.
I can't remember now. Yeah. It was on my list.
I've closed
down the piece of paper.
Fucking hell, Pete.
Sorry, mate.
I just thought you could give him a little sign-off. We're about to finish the show.
Robert Lewandowski is
the pinpoint bomber.
The pinpoint bomber's
the pinpoint
up front.
Bomber.
Sorry. Not Lewandowski. This is a seamless plug. If you want to have a sense of why Barcelona are getting battered 8-0 tonight.
Mm. Yeah.
You should listen to the book club.
I thought you were going to bring up Andros Townsend's hair.
And
seamless plug.
Jim and me, it's just out yesterday.
Yeah, we talked about it, didn't we? I had it on queued up to listen to on the way home today. I'm looking forward to it.
Man U facing Young Boys in Switzerland. Chelsea Champions League defence starts against Zenit St. Petersburg. You've already said which one you're going to be watching. You're going to be going for the Barcelona goal fest.
Yeah, and if one thing could convince me to watch Man United, it would be the fact that all the Man United players refused to have dessert the other day because Cristiano Ronaldo didn't have it, which is, I think that Kate thinks is the most pathetic thing she's ever heard.
I think it's up there. It's certainly up there.
Even Luke Shaw.
Stop bullying him. Jose Mourinho's back in Italy. Yeah. You leave Luke Shaw alone.
I'll leave multimillionaire Luke Shaw alone.
He's had a year of the best form of his life. And if it's down to desserts, let him have them.
Mate, I said it at the Euros. He was my favourite player. I think he's cracking.
Apparently all the players, according to Lee Grant, all the players watched Ronaldo eat quinoa, avocado and boiled eggs and just thought, I want a bit of that.
Let's all leave the room before he starts.
The reason it's fascinating though is because they're all really high-performing athletes as well, and they just obviously quite. I think it's quite sweet.
Eat the fucking crumble. Get a grip.
Get the custard.
Oh, look, Ronaldo's here. He's doing stuff. We're going to do exactly the same stuff as him, and then we might be like him.
Exactly. But it's another mention, Kate, of the undeniable link between football and custard.
Mm-hmm.
Lee Grant, and I quote, "I tell you now, not one player touched the apple crumble and custard."
David Moyes wouldn't have had that, would
There's
he?
There's custard everywhere in football.
Bring out your jelly.
He would have been on them. Eat that custard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super juice. Yep, all right, on that bombshell, it's time to get out of here. Say goodbye to the listeners, Pete.
Touchdown!
Say goodbye to the listeners, Luke.
Goodbye.
We will catch you tomorrow with Marcus, Jim and Andy. See you then, guys.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.